Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I am Kristen, and I'm here with Neil Baker, psychic and author. Good evening, Neil.
Good evening.
Well, here we are on Monday night, a little bit of a departure from our normal schedule. I think you had an appointment this morning, so we're broadcasting a little later in the show. Hopefully we'll get some of our regular callers that are, or regular listeners that are not able to call in during our morning show time. So I know there are several of you out there that work during the day, so perhaps you'll be able to reach us tonight. We do have some in the queue right now, but of course we talk a little bit before our readings that we conduct with our callers. So we're going to be doing that in just a moment. I want to let everybody know how to get in touch with us. Of course, everybody may follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio by clicking on the follow button under our show name, The Neil Baker Psychic Hour. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Those links are under our Blog Talk Radio profile. And we are on iTunes, so there are podcasts under our show name, The Neil Baker Psychic Hour, on iTunes, which you can download to your iPhones or other smartphones and listen to us when you're on the go. Of course, Neil's books are available at Amazon.com. That page is also linked under our show name, The Neil Baker Psychic Hour. And we are continuing our discussion today, Neil, about the Kundalini, which we started on last Wednesday's show. And I think we're going to go a little bit more in depth than we could. I mean, our time is limited because we take our callers. We try to get to as many callers as possible. So we have to accommodate for that. So we're continuing that discussion tonight. Neil.
Well, first of all, let's make it plain again.
Boring.
Kundalini is the actual creative energy of spiritual illumination, and it's stored as potential energy within the root or base chakra of the spine. Now, it's a subtle energy which, if when it's released, it can cause activation and alignment of all the major chakras of the body. But of course, sometimes it's best to get those chakras in alignment beforehand so the Kundalini can move. Some people mistake it as a snake or a coiled kind of energy. And indeed, it does have a wheel-like fashion to it. It is coiled, and it is an energy source. When it disengages from the base chakra, it travels up the chakra like a snake. And like I said, if the chakras are aligned, then it looks just like a snake, but in energy form. If they're not, then it's more going to be like a sidewinder because it has to move around and around and around those chakras that are not in alignment. And chakras can leave their stationary space if there's not alignment. And when we talk about, alignment, in terms of the Kundalini, which is, again, that energy, that life force. And the Kundalini does also house, as the chakras do, all of our past lives. All of our knowledge is stored in this Kundalini. All of our past lives are there. All of the enriching and or challenging experiences that we have experienced on the astral realm in between lifetimes is in the Kundalini. And so it stores all of our energy. It stores our lower primitive energies that we had on the earth in our past lives, as much as our higher consciousness energies that we have to reach as we grow in spiritual form.
So just like the third eye, the sixth chakra holds all our past life content, the kundalini holds that information as well, but I'm imagining it's a different energy
field. It is a different energy field because it's the energy that can move through the chakras and collect. It's like a bus.
Rather than like a movie, like the third eye would hold, essentially.
Well, the third eye can hold certainly
images or a story. Right, but it's just a different application of energy that
it's
holding.
The energy of a chakra can be interchanged. A second chakra's energy can be in the seventh chakra. A seventh chakra energy can be in the second chakra, et cetera, et cetera. But the energy of that is what moves. The chakra itself doesn't necessarily move. The kundalini, on the other hand, moves. It actually moves. And while it moves, it collects in each chakra, the base chakra, the sacral chakra, the solar plexus chakra, and on and on. It collects the energy and the knowledge of each of those chakras, as well as the karma. But what the kundalini does is as it rises, it also cleans and clears the chakras so that we can move from an area of lower life energies. Now, lower life energies would be the way that we are surviving on the planet, our jobs, our sense of security, our sense of safety, our home, even our relationships. That's in the base chakra. And when the kundalini moves through there and the chakras are aligned, we're going to have a base foundation of security. If, in fact, there isn't a sense of security in that chakra, and the kundalini moves forward, in spite of the fact that the base chakra is not secure, then we're going to have problems of insecurity in our second chakra, in our relationships, or in our diet, third chakra, or in our emotional balance states of the heart, fourth chakra. In other words, the negativity of a chakra, if it's not cleared, will travel along with the kundalini. Think of it as on a bus, they pick up somebody who's really of ill intent, and he's traveling through all the route systems that the bus is taking. What you want to do is have clarity, and you have to think of the chakras as your passenger. You have to think of the kundalini as the travel through the route.
So the kundalini can be used, kundalini, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but it can be used to actually clear the chakras if it's aligned from the base, if it's correctly aligned at the base chakra. Is that correct?
It's correct.
Because you can move the kundalini through the chakras even if you're not using the kundalini in an aligned state. Like we talked about, if you take a drug, for instance, that awakens the kundalini, obviously there's going to be some kind of misalignment going on. So this is not like an organic activation of the kundalini from a healthy, natural place.
No.
Not that it's any judgment on drugs. I'm not making a judgment, but I'm just saying that it's not a natural.
Well, then you're going to have a spontaneous acceleration of the kundalini, and that can get pretty terrifying.
Right. So,
With the drugs, a lot of people flip out and they don't come back from a trip or something.
Right, and who knows what's going on in terms of chakra alignment?
A major collision. Now, but meditation, active meditation, can in fact accelerate the kundalini from the base to the seventh chakra and zoom it right up there in a spontaneous, fast, quick fashion, because the meditation is attached to the higher self, and if all the energies are aligned, then all the chakras are open, and from the root chakra to the crown chakra, you can have an accelerated sense of energy and have a wonderful experience in the spiritual realm, a burst of light, inspiration. You can see angels and guides. I mean, it can be a fantastic energy. One reason I've never really indulged in drugs, there are many reasons, but one of the reasons was I was well in tune with my Kundalini as a child and was able to exercise those experiences without the benefit of drugs or the aid of drugs.
The aid of drugs, not benefit,
and,
really.
Well, some drugs have
a benefit
to them.
Yeah, benefit, but I mean...
A poor word, though. But, it went right up, and I was having cerebral trips in the higher elements of my energy and seeing a spontaneous world of past, present, and future before my eyes.
So can it be dangerous if people are using these artificial substances to awaken the Kundalini? Can we encounter different levels of karma in the chakras if we start to activate an energy that travels through our chakras?
If there's blockage in one of the chakras, and there's negative energy in one of the chakras, and that's taken up too quickly to another chakra, you can experience brain tumors. You can experience massive migraines. The negative energy is usually derived by a karma, and a karma that hasn't been resolved. So you can't really escape without serving your time in that particular karmic situation. It's like you can't bust out of jail and expect that no one's going to chase you.
Right, but you can experience karma in a chakra moving the Kundalini up even if you're doing it via natural methods. And I know that people sometimes are conflicted over whether they should be awakening the Kundalini because there are a lot of symptoms I've read that you can have, lack of sleep, other physical symptoms when you start to activate. And you're saying this is because of encountering karma in a given chakra?
Oh, yeah. Before I was able to really control the Kundalini in a mature way, I could be up 24 hours and do that consistently over at least two or three days before I drop down and be exhausted. It's an active energy. A lot of people who have a disturbed Kundalini find it hard to sleep at night because now we're talking about the left and right brain. I was just dealing with a client today who has trouble sleeping because of an active left brain energy, which means that she can't turn her thoughts off.
Mm-hmm.
And her thoughts are connected to the concerns of the earthly walk, the physical walk of the planet. And so she can't turn that energy off and allow her the proper right brain to be let out so that we can get to the higher form of dreams and meditations and astral travel, which is what our higher self strives for. So, you know, we do have a lower self and a higher self energy. And those two energies, lower self meaning the more primitive urges we have and the more survival instinctual energies we have, as opposed to a higher self, which is going to be more about the ideas of seeking knowledge from higher energies, finding out what our purpose is in life, the essence of our purpose, that's going to be in our higher element things. Now, the Kundalini traveling through all the chakras can help to provide the information as much as the communication between the right and left hemispheres of the brain. Those are very vital, too, in terms of obtaining the kind of knowledge we're looking for. Because you've got to remember, the right brain is going to give you the images, the dreams, the symbolisms, all that mysticism. The left brain is going to help you analyze what you've been experiencing and give it a proper meaning.
Okay, let's press pause for now, Neil, and we can continue this. Is there any last thing you wanted to say before we get to our callers?
Let's get to our callers.
Waiting. Maybe we'll get back to the subject. It's possible tonight we will, and if not, we can keep talking about it on Wednesday because I think people would really appreciate some practical advice on how they can start working with the Kundalini. And do it properly so they can minimize any ill effects that they might have.
Yeah, which is the topic of breathing is the greatest aid to Kundalini release as much as meditation, thought form. But breathing is very important and the alignment, the proper breathing is what is important in terms of the Kundalini release.
And we talk sometimes on the show about the third eye breath. Is this a different type of breath when we're using the Kundalini?
The third eye breath is a great technique to release the Kundalini.
Okay, and people can get into our archives and listen to our shows about activating the third eye, but we will continue on this for sure when we have a chance. But first, we're going to get to our callers. 562 is first, then area code 646, and then we have a lovely caller from 780. You know, I'm a lot more spry at 6 o'clock at night than I am at 10 in the morning, Neil.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, well, unfortunately for everybody, it's 10 o'clock normally, so you get
a
half-awake
day. You do a good job
at
10 o'clock in the morning, too.
Yeah. 562, good morning. Good evening. I thought I was spry. Now I'm saying good morning to 562. Good evening. I'm so trained. Who's this?
Well, Andrea.
Andrea?
Yes.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi.
Where are you calling from?
Long Beach, California.
That's what I thought. Yay, we're in the same spot. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we're in Long Beach. Same area code and everything. I mean, we have a number assigned for Blog Talk Radio for our show, but we're in 562 as well. What's your birthday, Andrea?
August 14th, 1984.
Okay, and how did you find our show? What brings you here tonight? What's your question?
I found you on Blog Talk Radio, and my question is, when do you see me having a child?
Okay. When is that child coming?
Well, your master number, Andrea, is 8. Now, 8 is the sign of rebirth. It's a sign of money. It's also a sign of rebirth, and eights are great for having children because it's a very maternal energy as much as it's a rebirth energy and a power energy. And not only that, your master number is 8, and your month is, and you have an 8 in your year, so your master number being 8 appears twice in your birthday code. Now, you have a karma until the age of 35. Now, does that mean that you necessarily have to wait until 35 to have this child? No, not necessarily. But at the age of 35, you're going to be experiencing a great change in life, no matter where you're at. I don't care if you have children or not. 35 is going to be a great change in your life. Now, 35 is not, Andrea, divisible by 8. It's not a multiple of 8, even though 35 is going to be a strong energy of change in your life, and your life will go in increments of every 8 years from that point forward. But at the point of birth until the point of death, you have a second energy of every 8 years, and that would put us at the closest place would be the age of 32. Now, you just turned 30, so I would assume that if there's going to be a pregnancy and a baby, you could conceive during your 31st year.
Okay.
Which would put you having a baby at 32. That would be, right now as we're talking, you and I, that would be my first vibe on it. You're 30 years old. Did you have, Andrea, any change, dramatic change at the age of 24, 6 years ago? Did you go through any change, a move, educational, a job change?
No, I got divorced.
Oh, well, that's it. See, there we go. You got divorced at 24. So you have,
yes.
You see, you have karma in there. So that's important because that's now analyzing your multiples of 8 and 8 times 3, 24, you get divorced. Was there any other child or a loss of a child? You know,
I had 2 abortions, one when I was 16 and one when I was 17.
Yeah. So, because I was feeling, in other words, my vibrational pull was that you lost a child. I poised it as a question, but it felt like a vibration to me. And 16 is another multiple of 8, you see. So those energies, I do believe, and I'm saying this to you, I do believe you're going to have a child, a healthy, beautiful child. I think it's the child's going to occur somewhere between 32 and 35. What's interesting about your month and day is you have an 8 and a 4 in your month and day, and you're born in 84, so you have one over on that side, too. And the 19 in the century is essentially 1. So on one side you have 814, and on the other side of your birth date you have 814. This is a nice balance of energy that I think that you've come back to experience. So one of the agendas of your life, Andrea, was to come back to the planet to have a baby, but with the proper soulmate. I'm gathering that you're really not meant to give birth to a child with an improper soulmate or just a karmic mate. You can have a karmic mate, a karmic soulmate, but that's not a transcendent soulmate. If you're going to have just a karmic soulmate, then your baby is here because of some kind of karma, and then you could even lose your husband or your boyfriend or whatever during the time process. But if you have a transcendent soulmate, that individual, along with yourself, will stay intact as a couple, and the child will experience a unified home environment. I feel that you probably came from a disorganized home environment, and you've had to do your struggles through that. You're a strong woman and vital energy, very vital, very strong. And so to answer your question, it's a long-winded answer, but 32, maybe conceive at 31, maybe 32, 35, another energy source. It could be another child. It could be a home. It could be a move, something like that.
Okay, great.
All right, Andrea. Well, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you, too.
Yeah, give us a call back. Let us know what happens. Or you can always call us again if you have another question. Also, Andrea can call you directly, Neil, 562-596-7818. And she's right here in Long Beach, so perhaps she could meet you in person. Who knows? Okay. Area code 646 is next. Righty. Hello.
Everybody.
Annoying. You know, you can tell tell the person to turn the radio off.
Yeah, it's 646. If you'd like to speak with us, you've got to turn off your radio, though. It's very odd. 780. Good evening.
Hey there, it's Jay calling from Canada. How's it going?
Jay, hi. Gosh, it's been a long time, Jay.
I know, because I can't catch you during the daytime because I got a full-time
job. No.
So nighttime, I know.
Well, give me your birth date again. I know he's like a 10-1, but I can't remember the exact date.
Pretty close.
March 24th. March 24th. Right, but your master number is either 1 or 2, if I'm remembering correctly.
I think so, it is, yes.
What's your
good
year?
Memory.
I try. What for Jay? What did you say?
1964.
64. Okay. 3, 4, 5, 9. You said 29/11 too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's going on? What's new?
Oh, my drum classes are going pretty good. I'm just standing up for myself at work and just doing some drumming outside. Well, it's autumn right now, so that's where it's going on right now.
I know there had been some transition in his job, and he had lost his job, but then got a new one. And so, have you been in that job for a while?
Yeah, 2 years coming up.
See, oh wow, so he's kept that good.
That's
it's
great.
Been a really long time since we've talked to him. What's your question?
I know it has. Thank you.
Very long. What's your question?
About the Kundalini energy, I'm not looking really for a reading, but, you know, the Kundalini energy is, you know, I was going to go towards that direction, but I was actually practicing actually Tantra, which is sort of like it. But what I do in the Tantra meditation, as explained or I practice, is that you get grounded. It's about the feeling aspect of it, the bringing your senses in and feeling the aspect of your awareness and things like that. For example, you know, when I first start my meditation, it's about a 30-minute meditation, you know, I get grounded with my surroundings, and then I feel, you know, the air on my skin, and then I feel the, how would you say it, witnessing the space between the in and out breaths, and then clear the energy on your central channel, okay, going up and down between, for example, your heart and your throat, and, you know, going back and up and down that way, and then you send your awareness out, and whatever comes back is that. So yeah, that's, and then bring everything together and send it out again, and where you have the Shakti and Shiva working together, and then whatever comes back is as senses, you know, where it could be anything. So that's what I've been learning, and I don't get the heat or anything like that, but I don't know, so I thought, is it related to Kundalini? I'm not sure if it is or not, so.
Well, hi, Jay. Yeah, it is. The subtle activation of the various chakras can cause physiological effects upon the body, and that's just a known fact. It's even documented that's the case. But, you know, when we deal with the you're talking too about some of the electrical wave activities that are generated by the activation of the chakras, and that can be assisted or aided by the left and right cerebral hemispheres when you're, for instance, practicing, probably in your case, meditation and breathing. This in turn starts to turn everything on. There's electrical wave activities that are generated by the hemispheres of the brain, and this gives us better coordination within the chakra system. And then imagine it's almost like a rocket taking off. As that Kundalini comes to life, as we get down to the base chakra and you impress your brain waves into that base chakra and alight the Kundalini, stir up the Kundalini, talk to it, and motivate it to move up, you're going to feel a tremendous amount of not only cerebral activity, but that brain activity is going to become like a light candle, and it's going to start to send energy up to all your chakras. They can actually stimulate your chakras, so there's a great kind of whirling effect, because the chakras can spin clockwise or counterclockwise. And then that energy becomes a tremendous motion and amplification of energy, and then that just kind of keeps moving up, and you're using the Kundalini itself to motivate and stimulate the chakras, so you can move through areas of, you know, if you're going to go through drumming, some of that is primitive energy, our base chakra, but it's also in the heartbeat, so you're going to have tremendous force chakra. Drums are usually basically, especially in chanting and meditative or spiritual drum beat, not just rock and roll, but the drum beat itself, the spiritual drum beat, is going to be activated in all your chakras, from the base to the reproductive chakra, where you can self-create, to the solar plexus, where you can get that rhythm going in your stomach. It can even aid digestion, to your heartbeat, which can make a regular heartbeat regular, or a regular irregular heartbeat regular, or a regular heartbeat irregular. Meaning that it gives you a chance to be out of your body. Because a lot of times when we leave the body, our hearts become irregularly beat. There's a irregular beat going on. And then, of course, through your throat, where you're going to feel it in your vocal cords, to the stimulation of your third eye, where the blood is pounding in your brain, and that becomes a drum beat too, to the very crown of your head. So your energy of meditation and your energy of drum playing is a great factor in the release of the Kundalini.
That's interesting. Okay.
Hey, any
so
questions? Do we have
no,
time?
No, that's it.
Okay, that's it? All right. Well,
I think that's it yeah, because, you know, I've been pretty good here, so... looks like it's my time, so my classes are full and lots of interest and things like that. So Oh, yeah, just being my heart out again, so.
That's great. Well, we're really glad to hear that you're doing well, and we thank you so much for calling us tonight, and maybe we'll be on the air again in the evening sometime soon, and we'll get a chance to talk to you again.
Yeah, thanks, Kristen. Thanks, Neil.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Jay, thank you.
Take care.
Okay. Bye. And, Neil, we're out of callers. We couldn't get that other caller in, and...
Well, we've got a little bit of time.
So let's talk.
A different area of time that we're in, usually in the afternoon or in the morning hours, we've got more callers than we can handle. This is kind of a dinner hour, and we've kind of...
Well, I mean, for the West Coast, yes. For the East Coast, you know, it's 9 o'clock, 9:30.
Well,
but, you know, sometimes when we have an interruption in our show's schedule, it does shift things a little bit in terms of the energy of the show. So... It's nice because we can continue talking, if you'd like, about the Kundalini. So,
well, you know,
Jay brought a great question to the table, so it helped to further that discussion. But
the Kundalini. I mean, it serves so many different purposes, but you know, we also have to get to a state that if in fact we're trying to reach our higher self, because a lot of the callers do try to attain that premise.
Reaching
yet,
their higher self and
reaching
their higher purpose.
The higher energy, which is where, you know, where ultimately the ascension of the Kundalini is going to be appearing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be getting a really divine knowledge when you enter that higher chakra energy, especially the third eye and the crown chakras, whereupon you get a sensation of light flooding the brain, or a great expansion of consciousness, because in that spinal column, so to speak, we do have knowledge. Knowledge is always within those chakra systems. So when we're in that zone, what we first have to do is give ourselves a sense of security. Because if we don't have a sense of security, then our journey going upward can get a little bit haphazard.
So we need security in the first chakra.
In the first chakra. That first chakra is basically, that reflects really the degree to which we feel connected to the earth, or the way that we're grounded in our activities. The Kundalini shouldn't be really expressed as an escape. It's not like an escape. We're trying to escape our responsibilities, or we're trying to escape our insecurities. The Kundalini is really a journey of security, not a journey of desperation. So the amount of energy flow through the root chakra is the reflection of one's ability to link with the earth and to function effectively upon the earth from day to day. And if you're not grounded, if you're always sort of like in despair or depression or uncertainty, then that journey can be a little bit hazard, because it's not going to be, what's that?
I said dust. Hazard dust.
Hazardous. hazard filled, hazard dust. So you want to make sure that you have it. You have a grounding of energy, because that grounding is reflected in the denser or lower vibrational aspects of your being. And so you want to make sure that you understand what survival is. And survival is not based upon fear. It's not based upon flight. It's not based upon uncertainty. It's based upon a knowledge that you are in the right place at any given time. And if that seems to be the wrong place, then you're aware that it's the wrong place and you know how to move out of it. And that means that you have a total sense of direction. We tend to think that our compass is in our third eye, or our compass is in our sight. Our compass is really in our root system, because that's going to tell us if we have good standing on the ground or bad standing on the ground, if we have karma or not karma. You know, I'm always amazed at people who are very active people, and they seem very secure and very bold. Let's take Steve Irwin.
the crocodile hunter, who was a very secure man, loved what he did, nature-bound, seemed totally assured, very knowledgeable. What happened to him? Number one, in his third eye, he always said that the mantra, the stingray, could kill you if you got too close and infringed upon its territory, because it has a stinger that, with a perfect aim, can lodge in the heart of its victim, and that's it. Even Stephen Irwin said, if you get hooked in the heart or in the chest, the solar plexus area, not solar plexus, but the, what do you call this right here, the sternum or...
The epigastrum.
I'm going to let you say it.
This is a joke you're playing on me.
Yeah,
well, the circularity of my brain is able to understand that. That's another inside joke from the last show. But, the epigastrum is the area in
epigastrum.
Yeah, we know about my faux pas on a show past when I said epiglottis, which is obviously in the throat, but...
it's
epigee.
Epigastrum. It's like we're playing Jeopardy.
Okay,
so if they hit you there, even Steve Irwin said, you're done for, because you can't leave it in. It pumps poison in your heart, and if you pull it out,
you're done for because
you bleed internally. So you're just screwed. Well, he went diving, and so that's his environment. Now think of the diving as his root chakra. He's supposed to understand the security of that area. And what he did was he moved too deep into the security level, the energy level of that animal, and it got him right in the chest. And he was dead, I think, very, very shortly. They pulled him up out of the boat, into the boat, and he pulled it out himself, and he knew I guess that's the way he wanted to die.
Let's look at his birthday just for fun. Go ahead.
But there's somebody with knowledge.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Well, I mean, he was born on the 22nd, 222, and that's, I mean, obviously that's a 6 in the karmic side, but the 4, I mean, 22 in that birth date.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying, the heart, where he was injured, but I haven't gotten the full. So 222, 62, so it would be a 616. Plus eight, 16 plus 8, 24, 6.
His year?
62, and there's that the separation of the 4 there in the year.
Yeah,
so that's
You see the two. That was Steve's problem. The two became the two is the sacral chakra. It's a very active chakra, very male energy too, especially for a male. For a female, it would be the reproductive chakra. For a male, it's the phallic chakra. But that's a very bold chakra. And he was a very bold guy. He'd jump in there and grab an animal and say, oh, how you doing, mate? And we're going to put you down. Don't worry. And he just constantly, but he had a way with animals, and he loved animals.
Right.
But he, in a way, he was criticized because he didn't, some people would criticize, say, didn't respect animals' space. And he did this for the effect of television, for educational purposes, because he wanted to demonstrate what an animal looked like and display it and talk to it for a minute. But at the same time, the animal doesn't know he's doing this for television. And I think most animals got a certain vibe from him that was non-threatening. But here again, what this man didn't do, what I would have suggested for him to do, and I don't know if he did it or not, but I would have suggested it, is that whenever you enter a space, you ask for that forgive us our trespasses. If I have karma here, please release me from it. I'm not an enemy. You know, consciously, we have to do our daily meditations in spite of how we have our energies.
Right.
And so if you can have a chakra system where the kundalini can leap out,
you know,
and just go and accelerate. Imagine what Steve Irwin did. He was always accelerating and jumping into something, sometimes without the proper preparation.
Do you know when he died? It was September 4th, 2006. So his karmic number and master number are held within that date of death, the 24, going backwards from the century to the day, to the 6 in the year, which I find really interesting.
And I just looked up his wife's birthday. We're not going to go into that, but they certainly have an intense connection when I'm analyzing the birth dates. That's very obvious.
Yeah. Well, you know, what people don't also, people tend to forget, maybe some people tend to forget, is the esoteric perspective of the root chakra. This is a cosmic creative energy that emanates from that root chakra. And it's not only funneled into procreation, which is the birthing of new life, but it's associated with artistic creativity, with the birth of new thoughts and ideas and inventions. Those things are rooted in the first chakra, too. And, of course, you know, I'm a writer. Creative expression can manifest through writing or painting or sculpture or singing or whatever it may be. And as much as it can create babies from the first to second chakra, it can create poetry and music. And so it's kind of a fuel for the furnace. And it's a fiery energy. The root chakra has a lot of fire in it. The intensity of that fire is, of course, in the third chakra, where we have the stomach energies that convert, or some of our ideas never reach fruition. They never reach a completion of energy, and some of us just have wonderful ideas, but we can't execute them well. Well, the Kundalini can assist you in that, because what it does is the Kundalini will take that base idea and travel through all the chakras
and activate the chakras. So if you have a dormant chakra, for instance, not a dormant chakra, but maybe if you're lacking in energy in your birth date code, the Kundalini can assist in activating that number you may not possess in your code. Is that right?
Yes. And that's what's great about the third chakra, because, you know, our third chakra breaks down food. It gets it ready for in the process of the body as it goes down to the root chakra. As you're going up, what the third chakra does in forms of creativity, it strengthens the idea. It's like the blasting of the pottery in the fire. It finishes the energy and finishes the shape and hardens the energy, or it molds the energy. So that third chakra is just not here for us to eat and store food. It's for us to modify and redefine our ideas to a higher state of energy. From there, creativity, assisted by the Kundalini, goes to the fourth chakra, where we give the energy a warmth, a beating heart. Sometimes you'll say, you know, this is a great creation, this is a great novel, but there's no life in it. It's cold. It's methodical. It just doesn't have a basis of life in it. It's not beating. Or you read something and you go, wow, that really gripped me. That was like life itself. That's what the fourth chakra can do in terms of creativity. It gives life, a life source, because therein it also holds our lungs, and so it gives us a sort of breath of idea, and that's what the Kundalini does. Now, the fineness of the expression, how we fine-tune the expression of a creative energy, that's the fifth chakra. That's the fifth chakra. And that will fine-tune it so that that's like the editing process, the writing process, the way that the musical notes are arranged, or the way that the composition is composed in a painting. The fifth chakra will give it a certain sense of human definition, meaning it becomes an expression, however abstract, because we're also using our third and our right and left hemispheres of our brain, where something's either going to be very mechanical and structured, what, like Bach, or very abstract, like Charles Ives in terms of composers, or in painting, more of an abstract painter, a Pollock, or a more conventional painter like a Rubens, or, you know, even in terms of writing, experimental writer like a William Burroughs, or somebody that is more conventional, like a Dickens.
Or an experimental filmmaker like Dustin Robertson. First, I'm plugging his film for him.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know if he's listening, but anyway.
Well, I know he does listen, yes.
Yeah.
Why don't you plug that film a little bit?
Well, I don't know how much I can say, because I don't know how much is I mean, he's applying to some major festivals with this short. It's a 15-minute film that we were able to watch last night. And it is very experimental in nature, avant-garde, and it's got a terrific soundtrack and wonderful images. And he's a longtime client and friend of Neil's.
Yeah.
So
very exciting.
I thought we were in that vein, so I might as well.
You know, it's like a Kundalini trip in and of itself. It's a very exciting assemblage of images built around a passionate story of an individual's journey, odyssey through life, if you will, through to redemption. But, you know, when we get into the idea of the duality of life, we're also getting into the idea of yin and yang, black and white, passion and dispassion. And as we go into that, love and hate, birth and death, those elements, and I think Dustin, this filmmaker Dustin, and this film I think is going to have some very fine exposure in time, short film, about 15 minutes. But it does present a kind of bursting of creativity, but structured it the same way. And I think it's a nice example of how the Kundalini works when it's ordered and everything. Now this film is a little bit bizarre to the extent that the ideas you have to really be watching, because the flashes and the energies and the imagery command that your brain pays attention, because so many scenes hold so many different meanings and images. But that's how the energy works. Some of our great filmmakers, in fact, will delve deep into the symbolism of energy. Now, the symbolism of energy, that's when we get to the sixth chakra. The sixth chakra holds all of the cosmic goulash of life. It's got the past, the present, the future in it. It's got night and day experiences from our
past. Goulash of life. You just reminded me of that short story. I've eaten the lasagna of life. What is that short story? The Blind Unicorn, and you're conversing with Stone Books. Just reminded me of that.
You remember it more than I do. I remember it.
You know, it's funny. I have to. Remember, I helped Neil get these short stories published. That we're kind of getting off topic here, but I read a story and I said to Neil, "This is," and you said, "I said this is what you know." I love the story, and this is what happens at the end. And Neil says, oh, "Really?" About his own story. It was really cute.
Yeah, I write him and then I forget about him.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
But do we have another caller?
We don't.
We're still...
It's crazy. This is very rare for our show. Obviously, we have many callers, usually more than we can accommodate. But tonight is a little odd.
That's okay, because we have time. We never have time to get into these things. And in the archives, we have some energy that we could talk about. We've been talking about a little bit of the lower self. What about the higher self?
Yes.
The higher self actually holds the solutions to many of our problems. Because it's well beyond one of my favorite words, the mundane day-to-day obstacles that we encounter. How boring. The mundane encounters.
You've been saying that word like a lot the last few days. Mundane. Why?
Mundane. Well, you know, the mundane energy is when we start to lose passion for life and we just see life as being one day after another. That movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray, where he's caught in that kind of Sisyphus event of life where just one day becomes the next day, and it's just over and over and over again until we break through and understand what is the meaning of awareness. How do we become aware and bust out of the mundane and start to get in touch with our true potential? That's really the question. Well, one form that's exciting, and I look forward to every night, is our dream world. Dreams are the symbolic communication through which the higher self tries to contact our consciousness and tell us information that's not always readily identifiable. Sometimes we have dreams and they're so bizarre and we can't figure it out. Well, that's when we need our left brain hemisphere, our left brain to kind of help us work out the logic of what comes out of the subconsciousness or the higher self journeys, where we have all of the, it's really the metaphorical language of the dream state is what we encounter when we go into that world. It's chock full of metaphors, and all of that faulty programming, if you want, that's not so clearly defined, that's filled with all kinds of energies that we might have been seeking knowledge from a higher self, from a higher energy, from a higher spirit, from a guide, from an angel. Those are the energies that await us in our dream state that take us out of the mundane, everyday basis of life. And so we come back with that energy, and it's supposed to, in essence, spice our life up and make us realize how much magic there is in our everyday, every hour, every minute existence on this planet.
We have another caller, Neil.
Okay.
So let's spice things up here, shall we? God, I'm making myself throw up.
Yeah.
954 area code. Good evening.
Hi, this is, I've called into the show before. My name is Valerie, but I just wanted to let you know somebody was listening, but I love to hear Neil talk, so I don't really have anything, but I'm just trying to learn.
Do you have
Neil. I'm waiting for your book. Not really, but I haven't really taken Neil's advice. and that's why I've been embarrassed to call back.
It was what you didn't take. I appreciate your comments. Thank you. But where did you? What advice did you not follow?
Actually, and Valerie, Neil's books. Neil has several books already published, so there's no need to wait for any books. I mean, we're writing a numerology book together.
Mm.
If you're waiting for that book, but there are, on our Neil Baker Psychic Hour page, there's actually a link. Neil has five novels. Is it five novels or six?
Something.
Book of poetry, a book of art, and a book of short stories. So those are all available. Now, they're not metaphysical topics.
No.
But the largest book, Occultus Liber, is actually there's a lot of prophecy in that book, but it's a book of literary fiction. So it's a satirical novel. But those are available. Should we get her birthday?
I think I need a book club to try to understand it, though.
Well, I mean,
a discussion group.
Sounds like she's looked at it online already.
I did look at it, and it was like, oh, that's a little bit. But, I mean, I should just, dive into it. It's like my dreams. I have these crazy dreams, and I can't figure those out either. I stopped writing them down because I'm like, they don't make any sense.
Short stories may be more your speed. Actually, those are really approachable. But what's your birthday,
I'll try
Valerie?
That first. It is 7/20/1964.
Okay. And what was Neil's advice to you? Refresh us.
Well, I'm embarrassed because I know he doesn't like people like this. It just can't pull the trigger. I was thinking about going back to school. I turned 50, and I've been kind of a trailing spouse for a while. But I read all the time. I'm very interested in healing. I've been reading. I'm reading about healing touch. I've done Reiki, and I just kind of practiced on my husband because he could use a lot of it. And he says he's the biggest person that says, I don't believe in this stuff. He kind of hates my delving into all these issues. But yet he's saying, my knee feels better, it seems. I don't know why. I don't understand it. But
So you're reticent about actually returning to formal study in whatever realm you might be wanting to. I mean, we're not necessarily talking about returning to like college, like a 4-year university. But
right.
You're talking
I was thinking
about
of like acupuncture and Chinese medicine. But I mean, I'm happy just volunteering and doing it. Like healing stuff, like this whole kind of hands-on healing Reiki kind of.
Are you trying to make a living?
I'm just trying to give back. I always want to try to help people. And, my girlfriend had thyroid cancer earlier in the year, and we go to yoga, and I'm doing all kinds of meditations and stuff, and she did well. And so, but I mean, it's not something you can say, well, gee, I think not that it's my energy, you know, just whatever. But to me, I feel like I'm helping. You know, my mom went through surgery, and I went to the week before surgery, and she's like, oh, you calm me down so much. So, I mean, I feel like I'm being helpful and that I don't need to be getting paid for it. I enjoy that kind of stuff.
Right. But the benefit to maybe more education would be a higher level of acuity and being able to help in a more extensive manner than you would without.
Right. Because I can't just go to a hospital. I live near a Cleveland clinic, and I know they're building a new building there, and they said that they were going to do some integrative medicine techniques, like perhaps Reiki and stuff. So, I mean, I'd like to do that, but, I mean, I think I have to. I can't just say, well, I've read a lot of books and I've taken a Reiki 1 class. I don't think that, unless it's strictly volunteer, I don't know. But, I mean, I'd enjoy doing something like that.
Okay, Neil, do you have some thoughts here?
Valerie, we have about 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Actually, Valerie, the seventh chakra is in the essence of what you're working with. You're working with your crown chakra in the healing arts of existence. And that seventh chakra is strategically located in your birthday code because you're born in July. Now, for you, that is a vibrational energy. So you're actually, in essence, Valerie, you're actually reaching back to a time when you were an intense healer. Now, that was in a primitive era of life, but we have our tribal healers and our Indian healers, and where medicine sprang from that. Healing didn't spring from medicine. Medicine sprang from healing and the esoteric art of healing, the spiritual art of healing, the vibrational art of healing. And you actually did have that energy before in a past life. And that's stored in your chakras. Some of the knowledge that you have already experienced is stored in your chakras because this is in the progression of your soul that you have this information. Now, your energy, your karmic energy goes from a 7 to a 2. So that 2 means that you also had to come down. You have children, don't you?
No.
You have no children? Well, the second chakra then, what's burdened about your energy in terms of the second chakra when you're not a 7 by master number, you're a 2. But that 2 now shows me that part of your energy of life, you had karma in relationship. So that too means you have a little bit of karma with your husband. So that may be part of the past life connection you have with this man. Now, as absurd as it sounds, he might have been your child in a past life.
Valerie, like super quick, what's your husband's birthday? I just want to look at it. I don't think we're going to have time to really delve into it.
2/25/65.
Oh
yeah, so there's huge.
Yeah,
the birthday and the year.
Yeah, perfect.
Crazy.
You see, real quickly, Valerie, you're 7
9,
and his
19.
2.
He's a 30.
Or your first 2 numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Your 2 connected to his 5 in the day is 25, and his 2 connected to your 0 in the day is 20. You have a tremendously strong past life connection with him, which was something you had to work out. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 19, 29, he's a 30. So together you make a 5 because he's a 3 and you're a 2. Now that 5, Valerie, I know I'm getting a little bit complicated, not really, but that 5 is located in the journey between your 7 and your 2 and your month and day. And so part of your journey back to the earth had to do with this man and your connection to him. But in essence, you have a strong spiritual energy. It ignites with your third eye and your heart. And I would say go back to school, get as much learning as you can on that level, and go forth and don't be humble. I mean, be humble. but don't be humble.
Be arrogant. That's the advice for the
Well, what I mean is don't
don't underestimate
your
gifts.
Capability. I'm going to close the show. So for those of you that are listening on the phone and online, we're going to go off the air. But Valerie, I'll let Neil finish with you. So we are back on Monday morning at 10 a.m. our normal time. Thank you everybody for joining us, and we'll see you then. Bye bye everybody. Okay, so we can get back to Valerie now.
Well, just in closing, Valerie, yes. That's what it's really about. Your journey. You have a karmic journey with this man. How long have you been married to him?
10 years, and I've been with him though for like 16 or 17 years.
Well, and were you formally married? Are you divorced?
No, we've been formally married for 10 years, but I've been with him even longer.
No, I
so
mean,
we've been together.
Were you ever married beforehand?
No.
Any? Sorry.
What's
any
that?
Breakup? Like a live-in situation? Any serious relationship that broke up?
Yes, I had a. Yes, I lived with somebody before, and we broke up.
That's the divorce.
That's kind of the divorce symbol that it results from your compounded energy. But yeah, Valerie. Don't be afraid of moving forward and indulge in the school aspect of it. Go back to school. Learn the healing arts to the best of your knowledge. You already have a lot of the knowledge already. It just has to be untapped or tapped into. Untapped, boy. We're going back at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Good.
But I wish the best for you, Valerie.
Oh, thank you very much. And I love your show. I love the
thank
two
you.
Of you together.
Thank you
great.
Much. And you know what? Okay. We are so grateful to you for filling the end of our show. I mean, of course, we can talk. Yes. So, okay, we'll go out and get a cold sleeper now. See you soon. Thanks again.
All right. Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. All right. That's the show, Neil. I'm going to go watch some conspiracy videos.
Well... Okay.
All right. See you Wednesday. I'm losing our signal here.